Psalms 105, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. We need to be encouraging each other. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians tonight, chapter 5. If you're visiting with us, I'm Pastor Stan. It's my wife, Kathy, on the front. And Pastor Dwayne Sheriff is our senior pastor. And we're one church, 12 locations. And not only the physical locations, but around the world. And the exciting thing, like our serve day, we're not just serving in these 12 locations. There are groups of people overseas who consider themselves part of Victor Life, and they're serving in their communities, and they're on live church, live, you know, internet church, and yet they're going out and serving their communities. That means it's exciting. It's exciting for me to be part, just like the live feed on Sunday morning. I know there are people who, that's different. Man, that's something new for me, you know. But it's part of something bigger. It keeps me aware that this is not the church. We're part of the church. We're just a small part, but the church is worldwide, the universal church. We're part of something so much bigger, and it's so exciting to see the Word of God go out throughout the world and change people's lives. So that's exciting. And if you haven't been with us and haven't been following along, Pastor Dwayne is in a series of being made right by God. Man, it's been a great series. Last Sunday was exciting for me. I you know, even though it was challenging, and the topic was self-righteousness, that's something you always want to talk about, right? And whether or not I'm self-righteous and the symptoms of that. But, you know, I want to do right. I want to be right. I want to look at myself and say, okay, Stan, are you acting right? And what are my actions? Are they really in line with my faith and how I'm reacting with God? And because I want to position myself and posture myself to be receptive to the Lord. But not only to be receptive, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want Him to get glory out of my life. That the way that I live will be pleasing, and that it'll all be pointed back to God, not to me. And I know that you do too. And so, you know, we're going through these studies, and you can get online, you can download our app, and you can follow along in the notes of all of our messages, and even on Wednesdays, and follow our notes there. And then go back and study. Solidify your faith. Solidify your you're studying the Word of God and grow thereby. We need to be growing. And I know that's why you're here tonight too. But here in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, it says this in verse 11. So encourage each other and build each other up as you've already been doing, as you already are doing. So encourage one another and build one another up, even as you're already doing. And, you know, of course, some of these things that when I read in the Word of God, it makes me stop and really think. I just want to say, okay, why did He say it like that? If I'm already building people up, and He says, keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing. And I'm thinking, maybe my thinking is just a little different than some folks, but I'm thinking, well, if I'm already built up, why do they got to keep building me up? And I'm formulating this theory about us as humans and why we got to keep building our faith and pouring into one another, and the Lord keep pouring into us, and we keep encouraging one another. And if I had faith yesterday, what has happened today? I believe that it's possible that we leak. Yeah, we leak, you know. And so we just got to keep working to keep each other encouraged, because the challenges of life, they really, it does draw from us. And the enemy would love nothing more than to drain you of your faith, to drain you of the Word of God, and to steal it from you. But you and I, we go through life, we go through challenges, and we need each other. Why would He encourage us to encourage one another and to build each other up if we didn't need it? There's times I need some building up. There's times I need some encouraging, and so do you. And that's why we're here working together in unity for the purposes of God and for His good pleasure. And so with this message about self-righteousness, and I just want to kind of stem off of that where, you know, some thoughts that are coming from my heart. And I have asked, you know, this question so many times at different points and facets of my life. Okay, where do I go from here? What's my next step from here? What do I do with what I've gained from God's Word and the Word of grace? What do I do with that? Where do I go from here? There's a lot of things where you come through different defining moments in your life. And you've got to say, okay, God, where from here? What's the pathway that I follow from here? And I figure that you're probably just like me in that. In Mark, the 4th chapter, in verse 9 and in verse 23, the Lord addresses something like this, and I think it's speaking to me, but he said in verse 9, "And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And verse 23, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And, well, I do want to hear. That's why I'm saying, God, where do I go from here? I want to have ears to hear. I want to be able to comprehend what you're saying to me and guiding me, because I'm to entrust my life to you to guide my footsteps. And I believe the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So God, where is my next step? And God's saying, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the Amplified of Mark 4:23, and I'll read the Amplified in the New Living Translation, says, "If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend." Well, that's really what we're trying to do, right? God, I need comprehension of my next step. I need to perceive what you're doing in my life. And if you're like me, there's one thing about me that I've said many times is I don't like being ignorant. I don't like being ignorant about stuff. I'm not an ignoramus, but we're all ignorant of something, right? Ignorant means just, you just don't know. And sometimes I don't even know enough to ask questions. But say, God, pour into me. I want to perceive your hand working in my life. I want to comprehend. Now listen to the New Living Translation. Where it relates to he has ears to hear, it says, anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand. Willing to hear. Well, it does start with willingness, doesn't it? If we're going to progress in the Lord, if we're going to grow in the Lord, we've got to be willing. And I believe that you are. You're here tonight and saying, God, I'm willing. Well, I want to listen and I want to understand. And really, you know, listening and understanding are, when you go to talk about the parable of the sower and the seed, that's one of the two of the five steps toward being productive in your life. One, you got to hear the word first, right? So God's speaking to me, let me hear it. Secondly, is you got to receive it. Thirdly, understand it. Fourthly, you got to guard it. And number five, you got to have patience. So you got to hear it, but you got to receive it. There's times when you've got to, by faith, receive. Say, God, that's your word speaking to me. I don't quite understand it yet, but I know it's coming from you. It's in your word, so I receive it as your word to me, and then grow in that understanding. And then once you have understanding what God's saying, then you got to guard it because the devil's trying to steal it from you. He's trying to punch holes in you so you leak. You leak out, you know, in your faith. But then you got to have patience, bear up, and have patience and trust God and see God's word bear fruit into your life. So, you know, I think that God is saying so much to us that we can't get it all up front, right? I mean, he's just pouring. He's downloading, man. He's downloading as much as we can absorb. He's there to download to you as much as you can take, man. He's trying to grow you up and grow me up and pour into our life. And I realize that, Lord, there's sometimes he's just coming in so fast. I'm giving so much. I know you're speaking to me. So I'm really going to have to tune my ears to hear. I'm going to have to lean in. You can't just be casual about it. Well, if the Lord wants me to know, he'll tell me. He's trying to tell you, you know. You got to be willing to hear. And you got to listen and understand. So we got to grow in the grace that the Lord is extending toward us. Now, you know, in 1 Corinthians 16, it says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." You know, grace is the divine influence upon the heart. To be beneficial, and it's God's favor in your life. To be able to do things you can't do in and of yourself and accomplish things you can't do in and of yourself. It's receiving something that you don't deserve, and that's His grace, His empowerment, His strength, His favor. And do you know, when you look in the New Testament, almost every letter in the New Testament ends with about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being with you. Are you growing in God's grace? This is something God wants us to do, to grow in His grace, to understand it, to walk in it. 2 Peter 3, verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also," he's talking to Christians, "being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Well, I really like Peter. Peter was really, he was so good at exhorting the believers, to exhorting the body of Christ. He was so dedicated and committed to take people higher. At any level of his challenge, he was trying to lift all of us up. In 2 Peter, and I really love this, in 2 Peter 1:12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth." He's saying, you know these truths, you're established in the truth of God's Word, but I'm never going to be negligent in lacking to stir you up in what you know. He said, "Yet I think it's meet or fit, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Boy, don't tell me we don't need each other. We many times think we don't need anything. We don't need anybody. But we do need each other to keep each other stirred up in our faith, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. You know, where do we go from here? You know, I believe that Peter never forgot where he came from, and he was so willing to give out what he's received of the Lord. The Lord's forgiveness, the Lord's mercy, the Lord's grace, the Lord's love, and the Lord's encouragement. I mean, look at Peter, how he failed the Lord in his own heart, how he denied the Lord, but the Lord forgave him, lifted him up, and man, he was one to go encourage us. You can go the extra mile. Don't look back. Amen? And sometimes, you know, we question where we are. Sometimes we question how we got here. I mean, who hasn't done that at times? Maybe some of you haven't, but there's times I've done that more than once. Lord, how in the world did I get here? And have that self-reflection. You know, self-reflection is good at times. I say, God, I need to look at our relationship here. And Lord, I'm willing for you to jerk the slack out of me because I don't like where I am. But Lord, how did I get here? And you know, I'm going to take us to Acts, the 16th chapter. And, you know, with Pastor's message talking about this self-righteous behavior, the symptoms of in your righteousness, not in his righteousness, that's a good thing to look at because, man, sometimes we can default over into self. And it's good to look at it and say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm doing what I'm doing because of what Jesus did for me, not because I'm trying to earn my way to heaven or earn his approval. He's already proved me through Jesus. He's forgiven me and he's cleansed me, made me his righteousness. So do that self-reflection, you know, and keep it right. Keep your thinking right. And now in Paul's journey here, I want to pull out some things here because it does deal with where you go next in your walk. I'm talking to you tonight, hopefully to encourage you. You're next. How to plug in. If you're at all saying, God, what is my next? Then we get it from God's Word. Where do I go from here? In Acts, the 16th chapter, I love some of the things I want to pull out of here tonight in verse 4. Let's start in verse 4. And this is where Paul and Timothy were working together in ministering. And in verse 4 it says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them, the people they were going to, the decrees for to keep." Now the decrees are these decisions that were reached by someone. They're taking these decisions that were reached by someone to these groups where they're trying to walk in faith, establish a foundation of a body there working together, serving Christ, a church, if you will, trying to establish a good work. And here's how you're supposed to act. How many of you know the Lord has to tell us how to act? We don't just default to having that figured out. And how we act working together, you and I, brothers and sisters, because sometimes that's some of the hardest things to do, right? Okay, y'all never having a problem with other people, right? I mean, yeah, you're afraid to say that. But hey, you know, you don't have any problems, go to church. You'll find a few, but anyway. But we work through our problems. But anyway, he said, they went through and they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Look at verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith, and they increased in number daily. I want to stop and think about this for just a moment. These guys, it's talking about the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem working as a team working together, following the Lord, praying, interceding, let the Holy Ghost give them some direction and show them how they were supposed to function together. They worked as a team, not as an individual separated from everybody. They worked as a team. They trusted one another as a team. We're going to see that here in just a moment. And then God multiplied. Churches were established in faith, and they increased in the number daily. That's why it's so important. Even today, we talk about teams. We establish teams in our church, in our body here, right here in Brownwood. You got all these teams that work together in ministry, working together for the glory of God. We're not going to be a one-man show at anything, because God wants to establish His work. We're the body fitly joined together for a habitation of God. We got to learn to fit together, flow together, function together, glean from one another's gifts and talents. We're not all the same, right? We don't come in bunches of grapes and all look the same. And we can glean from one another, and you only accomplish what these guys did through time and working together and learning to trust one another's gifts and talents. You'll see some of that as we move forward. I just wanted to bring that out. Even if you say, I want to be like the book of Acts, I want to be like the church in Acts, well, then start working together, okay? Can I get another amen? That's just two. Okay. We got to work together and find where we fit. Amen. Look at verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now I want you to, we're talking here, let me pause just a moment. So the people in these local churches and local groups and local cities were trying to find out, what's my next? They had leadership that was coming in, and they were listening to the spiritual leadership, following those that are over them in the Lord, who had concern for their souls. And so they were, you know, they had the multitude of counsel to lead them in the right direction, to learn and grow under. But there's another person who is also leading us that you better pay attention to. He's called the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Okay? Holy Spirit. Let's look and see what they said. Now in verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Okay, so they're moving along, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go over to Asia. He didn't have to explain why, did he? But no, you can't go to Asia. Look at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. They purposed to go over there, but the Spirit suffered them not. Nope, can't go over there. It wasn't His direction. Look at verse 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And listen, here, look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. See, that's working together. See, Timothy, Paul had this vision. Well, Timothy learned to trust that vision. And it's so good to have those checks and balances of when you have people praying with you. Say, listen, let's pray with me. We call it having a red flag. You have those that you're entrusted your heart to, and that you trust their faith to pray for you and their spiritual maturity and et cetera, et cetera. And let's pray together. But if one of you has a red flag, we're not moving forward until we find clarity on this. Y'all see this? Man, that's safety. That's safety. The Holy Spirit guiding and directing our every step. And so they did. They went over and preached the gospel to them. So here you had a team of apostles and elders that were allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them, even working with the Holy Spirit. And so what we've got to do and what you've got to do is allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, trusting Him to guide him, you. So, and you know what? You've got to trust Him in others. That's a tough one, isn't it? But you know, how are we going to do that unless we rub elbows together? Spend some time together. Admit our faults and mistakes. And when we goof up, oops, I missed that one. You know? And we forgive each other and keep walking on until we learn to walk together in unity, in a bond of peace. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. And listen, here's the thing. Don't assume that you got it all figured out. Or that the first word of direction is the final word of direction. They were moving and going to different places. Hey, we essayed to go over here, Bithynia, but he said no. Well, that's okay. Now, listen, I love Philemon, verse 15. And I love what it says to me, and it's over the years, it's meant a lot to me because I realize, you know what, as a pastor, I don't have all the answers. Do you know some people look at the pastor and think he's got all the answers? Oh, how goofy is that, right? Come on. It's okay. You can laugh with me too. Sorry. And you know what I realized through this passage? Paul didn't have all the answers either. He had to trust God. The story of Philemon has a guy called Onesimus. I hope that's pronounced right. That's Texan, so that's the way we pronounce it, right? Onesimus, it may be different, but this guy was a slave at one time, escaped that slavery, went off, and he connected with Paul, gave his life to the Lord, and became a brother in the faith. And now Paul is sending him back over to Philemon to serve Philemon, not only to be a slave, but to be a brother to him. Even said it one in there, he said, listen, if he owes you anything, if he walked off with your silver to escape, hey, put it on my tab. I'm kind of just paraphrasing, okay? Go read the whole chapter. It's just one chapter. But I love this, what Paul said here in verse 15. He said, for perhaps, he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. That spoke so much to me. When I saw Paul say, well, perhaps it had to go this way. You know what? I'm just going to leave it up to God. Come on. I ain't got it all figured out. But I want to trust God that He's in the mix of all of this and His hand is in the working of my life. And perhaps I had to go around about this way to get where I am today. Perhaps I've pastored before. I pastored out in Pecos for 8.5 years. And then I went into secular work. Perhaps I went into secular work so God could prepare me for what He's doing right now. I know that it's a fact now. Do y'all see that? So when you look back at your life thinking you got it all figured out, hey, why don't we trust God with a better plan? Not that we haven't made mistakes and paid some price that we might could have bypassed, you know, but let's trust the Lord. So you know, it's easier to steer a moving vehicle than it is one that's sitting still. Now, see, my mustache is older than you, so you may not understand some of the things that I say, but I had an old 57 Chevrolet pickup. It was my pride and joy, my first vehicle, and it did not have power steering, but it had a big old steering wheel. But, boy, you know what? Once you started rolling down the hill, it's a whole lot easier to steer when you're sitting there trying to crank some of them old things. Well, that's why we are. If you just get to moving, God will steer you in the right direction a whole lot easier. Just do something. Get moving, right? Okay. You know, the destination that God has us on, you know, has many turns along the way, many times to arrive at where He wants us to go. There's a lot of turns. It's not just a straight shot in our lives. Sometimes we take a lot of turns, and I took a lot of turns to get here, I believe. Kathy and I took a lot of turns. We went from Pecos to San Antonio to Sherman and Denison and back to Brownwood. It'd been nice if we just went from Pecos to Brownwood. But, hey, God had a way of what He was wanting to do, right? Now, in Acts 18 chapter, verse 5, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit, and he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now, listen, again, it's not always the way we think it is. Don't be shocked if it doesn't turn out like you think it should turn out. Are you with me? Don't be shocked if people don't think like you think. And you go in there and they just blow you off. Right? And let's see, this happened to Paul. Look at verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said in the, you know what, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean from henceforth. I'll go unto the Gentiles. Wow. So, but he went in there to testify Jesus, hoping and anticipating that they would receive the Lord. Amen. But you know what, if you're out there witnessing to people that need to know Jesus, And sometimes we think, well, I don't know. They're kind of hard, man. I don't know about telling them about Jesus. Everybody has the right to choose. And if the Holy Spirit's leading you to share with someone, listen, why would you steal that choice from them? We should look at it that way rather than be in fear of that rejection. They have an opportunity to hear. Give them the opportunity. Right? That's the way we should look at it. Because chances are there's going to be those at that moment may not hear what you've got to say. But you could be planting a seed of God's Word. God, He's the one that's going to bring growth to that. But everybody has the opportunity, should have the opportunity to reject or receive the Lord. And Paul was the same way. He went in there anticipating and hoping that they would, but they didn't. And so he kept moving on. So, you know, when people are resistant, we cannot say it wasn't God just because they didn't receive it the way you thought they should. Maybe there's that time when God's going to call them to account, and man, when you walk away, they can't lay it down. I've just been thinking about what you said. I've just been thinking about what you said. I've had that happen. Try to witness someone, and years later, come to me and say, listen, I don't know what you got, but I need what you got. They wouldn't have known that had I not told them years before. Amen. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you in doing that. So, in Mark 4:23, anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand. Let's go over to Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, this goes back to what we do with our heart. Where do I go from here? Be cautious with your heart. Be cautious what you allow in your heart, how you think. He's talking to Christian. He said, beware lest there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief. Now, I don't have an hour right here to interject right now to teach you about spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit's alive unto God. If anything's in you righteous and holy, it's your spirit, man. But your head is messed up at times. Your head, your thinking, your soulless realm is a battleground. And we can be messed up in our head, not really knowing God. And allowing in this evil heart of unbelief and hardening our heart to the things of God. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is so deceitful. So let me just share right quick with you, because I'm running out of time, three things and actions that actually harden our heart from hearing God. Things that if you allow in, they will harden your heart from hearing God. And we want to hear God, right? Well, number one is really obvious. I mean, that's sin. I mean, if you have unrepentant habitual sin in your life and you're not repenting of it, that's going to harden you and hinder you from hearing God. You can't just think, well, I'm just going to go right on sinning and then you want to hear God when you need to hear God. I mean, you've hardened your heart. You're calloused over. And we can do something about that. Number two is in Mark 16:14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So the second thing is unbelief. And we need to believe God even if we don't understand everything that's going on. Come on. We've got to trust Him. He's faithful. And we don't want to harden our heart because of unbelief. They didn't believe the people that had seen Jesus. What that says to me is that sometimes when I'm going off the rails and somebody comes to me and says, Stan, you're messing up. Maybe I should pay attention. Stan, you're goofing up. You know better than that. The Lord hadn't put that in your heart. The Lord hadn't said that to you. I don't believe what you're saying. All right, okay. Let's go to the third one, Mark 8:14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. This is really, you have to think about this a little bit, okay? So they were going with Jesus, and they'd forgotten to get bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, now listen, what he did was he used the situation of the bread, not the lack of it, but the bread. He's always using situations to teach us. And he's doing the same thing here. So it says, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So he's starting talking about them, about religion and legalism, and a variety of stuff. He said, beware. He starts to teach them. Because these things, he's saying, you let this stuff get into your heart, it'll permeate into your whole life. And listen, they missed the point. He said, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. It's because we have no bread. What's that? It's like, okay, boys, how long we've been hanging out together, you know? Look at verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, he said to them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither understand? Have you your heart yet hardened? Have we got so hardened in life and challenges that we're not listening and listening to the true meaning of what Jesus is trying to say to us, trying to get across to us about our trusting Him? And he said, verse 18, having eyes, see you not? Having ears, hear you not? And do you not remember? Now he goes on. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said, 12. When the seven loaves among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said, 7. And he said to them, how is it that you don't understand? See, we can read that and still not understand. He's trying to say, you need to let me permeate every facet of your life. I'm the one that supplies your needs. I'm your God. I'm your King. I'm your Lord. If you're going to let anything leaven your life, it needs to be leavened with me. See, he's not talking about just the food. I know he's using that as an example to teach them. You and I, sometimes we get into our lives and when we want to say, God, what's my next step? But we don't include Jesus in every step. We need to include Him in every step of what we do. He's more than enough. If you got ears to hear, you got to realize, let Jesus get involved with your marriage. Let Jesus get involved with your parenting. Let Jesus be involved with your job. Be the man out on your job as you are in here. Amen? Let Him be the leaven that leavens your life, permeates every facet of your heart. Amen. Amen. So we choose to remember and focus on the Lord and His goodness. Selective hearing, selective seeing. The last scripture, we're going to go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Now let me share something with you, non-hunters. And I'm going to use it here to give you an example of how we should be. Have you ever looked through a set of binoculars? Do you know what binoculars are? Y'all are awful quiet here tonight, okay? You know the little things you look for and it magnifies stuff? The really fun thing about binoculars is you can focus them to depths. And so what I do, if I'm out in the bush, many times you'll say, how am I going to see the deer on the other side of these limbs and trees and things like that? And what you do, I'll give you a little, it'll help you if you're doing that, guys. Is you have these binoculars, you focus, begin to focus beyond the limbs. You can focus, if there's a run on the other side of a row of limbs, you can focus over there, you can see the activity on the other side of the limbs. Because the other things go out of focus, and what's beyond that becomes focus, and you can see the deer on the other side of the brush. It's really cool. It's really helpful. What we need to be doing is tuning in our focus to Jesus and let other things in our life come out of focus. So they're not focusing on all the challenges, all the hardship, all the pains of the past, all the abuse, the betrayal. Let Jesus permeate every facet of your life. That's where you go from here. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Give it to Jesus. Take everything to Him. Hebrews 4. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What you and I need to do is mix faith with the Word of God and let God see what God would do in your life. Give Him something to work with. What's my next move? Getting connected with Jesus and say, where do you want me to go next, Lord? What's my next step in you? Lord, what do you want me to do? I got a job offer. Lord, let me pray. Lord, where do you want me to go? There may be times he said, I don't care. Lord, what color car you want me to get? I don't care. Whatever you want, you know. He may do that. But hey, why don't we ask the Lord, Lord, what's my next step? What do I do next? And let Him be the leaven that leavens the whole lump of my life. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. I hope you're getting something out of this. Amen. Praise God. Well, people all around you need prayer. There's lives all around you that need prayer. People's hearts are heavy. And they need hope. They need an answer. They need your encouragement. They need your strengthening. Sometimes when people are hit with challenges, it knocks them back. That's why they have us here. That's why they have you there as a friend, as a co-worker, mom, dad, or child. Just encourage one another. Our nation needs prayer. It's something that's been on my heart this whole week. And our nation. I think about our babies. Think about our babies. Those that are unborn. That's been heavy on our hearts. But also now the born. You know, I've been down in the jungles of Haiti. I've been in Port-au-Prince, a city that was designed for such a small group of people and didn't have hundreds of thousands, and families trying to raise their kids in such poverty and hardship, people bathing and stuff I wouldn't want to step in. And I think, Lord, how do they raise their children? How do those kids survive? I think about children on the streets of our cities, like Chicago, where there's so many murders and hardships and drive-by shootings, and I think about our children and all of these situations of life, and we pray for them and say, God, it ought not to be. But God forbid that the most dangerous place in our world today for children is in the womb of the woman, the womb of their mother. That has become the most dangerous place in some children's lives, that they not make it into life. That's heartbreaking. We have to stand for our children, the defenseless. That's just something you can be praying about. Amen. So I want to do something before we close tonight. I know I'm out of time.